Welcome, everyone, to the Pop Culture Podcast by Fantastic Geek. My name is Matt, hosting solo today and talking Better Call Saul, which returns to AMC Monday, April 10th at 10 p.m. Today, I'll be talking with the winner of the Better Call Saul Flyaway Sweepstakes, sponsored by AMC and Cinnabon. Why, it's Pete. Hello, Pete.
Hello, Matt. Hello, everybody. A little bit of an unusual appearance for me on the podcast here.
Indeed. You as guest is something that has not happened in the Fantastic Geek era of podcasts.
It has not, amongst our family of nine podcasts. So I'm looking forward to this arrangement.
Now, I want to say to our listeners, this is not a bit. Pete actually did win this contest, and everything that we're talking about is real here.
All too real.
So, Pete, let's start with the genesis of the contest. This was Twitter based, right?
It was a year ago, February. It was a Thursday afternoon. I received a DM, a direct message from the Better Call Saul official Twitter account. And it said that I was the grand prize winner of the Better Call Saul Flyaway Sweepstakes, and then I had to get some tax information filled out and notarized, and they couldn't exactly tell me what I had won until I did that. Kind of like if I was in some way ineligible, they would have gone to the next person. So within about 16 hours, I had that notarized and faxed into them. Actually, I took pictures of it and sent it along. And then they told me I was officially the grand prize winner, and that myself and a guest would be heading to Albuquerque, New Mexico, where they shoot Better Call Saul and shot Breaking Bad, the series that Better Call Saul is spun off from, at some point before 2017 spring. So with that, the clock started, and it was an interesting experience from then on.
So from when you won to when the latest it would be, we're talking over a year, right?
Right.
So what's the next step then? You send in the paperwork. When's the next time that they reach out to you to give you an update?
Well, then I was told within like 4 days, okay, we got everything. There's a separate fulfillment company that will be dealing and arranging the travel. Then I got an envelope in the mail in April. And this was containing a card from Cinnabon, and this was for a free Cinnabon for a year. They make these boxes of Cinnabon called Cinnapack, and they have anywhere from like 4 Oh My God sized Cinnabon that are approximately 50 million calories to, you know, a box of 16 little mini buns, I think they're called. And the card on the back had a box for each month. And that was the first piece of the prize that I was actually in possession of.
So no doubt you now love Cinnabon even more than you ever have before.
Listen, I'm not going to lie. I'm not a Cinnabon guy. I couldn't have won like a year's supply of vegetables or something like that. I just remember getting the first box and eating one of those massive ones on a Saturday morning. And then the next day I went to microwave the second one and my body was like, don't you even dare. So found a buddy who was interested. They got the other two Cinnabons and pretty much ate them very, very judiciously over the course of the next year. Let's put it this way. A lot of colleagues and coworkers and family were treated to Cinnabon over the year. I had a few, but man, am I good with a break from Cinnabon.
So you followed the recommendation of one of our most ardent listeners, hashtag share goodness.
I did.
So that's April 2016, and you're gorging yourself on Cinnabon Max month after month. What comes next? I'm sure there wasn't this open date for when the trip could be, that it was around other production factors and things of that sort.
Well, we started hearing about May that, okay, the show had wrapped its second season. It was renewed. And we started hearing that it could be this summer. So we were pretty much, you know, on standby to be ready, to the point where, you know, we were going to book a summer vacation, and we were like, all right, last couple weeks of August, that could potentially be time when we would be sent to Albuquerque. So we did not wind up going over the summer, but they thought that we might. So it kind of kept backing up and backing up and backing up. The production for the show was pushed back longer than usual for this third season. And so we wound up taking a separate vacation in August. And then in the fall, they were like, all right, it's coming, it's coming. And we're like, okay, we're ready. And finally, I got an email in November. They're like, we're supposed to get dates any day now. Great, I'm set. And then that didn't happen. And I got in touch with the woman at the fulfillment company. And I'm like, is there anything wrong? Anything, you know, any reason why that didn't come to pass? She's like, no, there was a change, no worries. And then finally, in the last week, November, first week, December, we got a date, which was January 13th through January 15th. And then it was a question of booking our flights. And what was included were the flights, transportation from the Albuquerque airport to the hotel and the experience that happened largely that one day, that Saturday, January 14th, 2017.
So two questions, Pete, just to better illustrate things for our listeners. First of all, you've mentioned the we. Who was your lucky guest?
That would be my beautiful wife, Karen.
Probably the good move to make when you win a prize to take your spouse, your special someone. Second of all, Pete, any concerns about flying three quarters of the way across the country on Friday the 13th?
Believe it or not, that did cross my mind. We went to book the travel. Basically, they were like, all right, where do you want to leave from, and when would you like to leave? And we wanted to go nonstop from the New York, New Jersey metro area to Albuquerque. And the flight they came back with, it was out of JFK, which is the furthest airport from us at the Jersey Shore. And it left at 9:30 at night on the 13th and got into Albuquerque at 1:30 in the morning their time. So 2 hour time difference. And then we were supposed to be up that Saturday, which we'd be getting in on that Saturday for this Better Call Saul experience. So that was not going to work out. So I had flown before, you know, making connections, not often, but I had. My wife had never flown making connections, so we were a little worried about our luggage. But other than that, it worked beautifully. We left very early on Friday the 13th, and two flights later, we were in the land of enchantment.
What is Albuquerque, New Mexico like?
I would have to say it's a place we would have probably never gone on our own. It's actually higher in elevation than Denver,
oh,
which
wow.
was a shock to me. Yeah. And we thought all along, initially, we would be going in the summer. So we were kind of prepared for really, really hot weather and, you know, researching it more and more. And, you know, each month we'd kind of look at the weather ahead of time. And, you know, they get, you know, cold winter weather, just about as cold as the Northeast, particularly at that altitude. In fact, we were right at the base of the Sandia Mountains where we stayed at the Sandia resort, and it snowed on the top of the mountain while we were there, yet it was somewhat mild for their time of year when we were there in mid-January.
So you get all set for the actual prize day. Take us through that. You're at the hotel. It's the big day. It's finally arrived after close to a year after you've won the prize. What's next?
Well, beautiful resort that they put us up at. You know, the pool wasn't even covered. They had this gorgeous pool area with torches, and you know, they would have had it been a little bit warmer. It was in the high 40s, low 50s, I'm sure, have been using it. But what do they tell us? And again, we're not jet lagged, but you know, we're 2 hours behind there compared to what we were. So we were up early and ready to go. We didn't leave until about 2 o'clock their time, which was 4 o'clock our time, what we were conditioned to, and get on the tour bus there and, you know, proceed to take us through all these different exterior locations where they had shot the show, had shot Breaking Bad, and then a number of locations still shooting with Better Call Saul. The only downer about the trip was that, and from what we gathered, because they kept moving the dates with production, that we were to have interacted with the cast and crew, but the date that they chose, the Television Critics Association also chose that Saturday for, you know, previews for various shows, and Better Call Saul's third season was one of them. So we actually crossed on Friday. They flew out to LA while we were flying into Albuquerque, and Sunday morning when we flew in to Albuquerque, they flew back. Or when we flew out of Albuquerque, they flew back in, which was a little bit of a bummer.
Yeah, I could see how that is. I suppose there still is the whole, you know, not look a gift horse in the mouth, but you want to meet the Saul and you want to meet everybody from the show.
Absolutely. And, you know, again, not to look a gift horse in the mouth at all. Like I said, we were put up in a wonderful place. The airfare was, you know, did see the bill. We didn't already pay the tax bill for that. was quite a number. And, you know, I can't say enough about the treatment that the company that fulfilled this did as far as making it a true experience. I mean, we went to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 separate locations throughout the Albuquerque area, and it was really, really well done.
What were some of those key locations, whether you're a fan of the show or not, what are some of the key locations that really were memorable from the show that you got to see?
Well, we started off with the furthest location, which isn't much of a location at all. And we had to actually head out their interstate. I believe it's 37 for, you know, maybe like 25, 30 minutes. And that location is called the Power Plant. And that's from Better Call Saul, where a couple of deals have gone down, Matt. And, you know, there's a guy in the show, he's a recurring character. He's kind of a, you know, dorky looking guy, but he winds up, once he makes a couple drug deals, he winds up splurging the money, and he gets this bright yellow Hummer with, flames on it and, spinning rims and everything. And, basically like the least conspicuous drug dealer vehicle of all time. So this is supposed to be an out of the way location, right? Like this is a place where you make the swaps. He was selling pills to one of the regular characters on the show, Nacho Varga. And so happens that that is a stone's throw from that interstate that I was just talking about. So the directions that they've shot it in the show, you'd never, ever know that. I mean, one thing those two shows are definitely known for are their tremendous cinematography. But it's amazing how close and how noisy it is to that interstate.
Indeed, as I recall, for Breaking Bad, some of the reason they shot Breaking Bad in Albuquerque was for tax credit reasons. And initially, Sony was like, it's supposed to be somewhere else. Just don't shoot in the direction of the mountains. And it was like, that's half the directions of the city. Let's just make the show take place in Albuquerque. So clearly Better Call Saul still benefiting from that, that creative decision.
It's such an unusual area. It kind of reminded me of the surface of the moon in many ways. They were talking during the tour when we were in some of the more city-esque areas, you know, the courthouse that they use the exterior for Better Call Saul and things like that, that outside of the small city limits there, you're not allowed to build above a certain elevation so that you can see the horizon and the mountains all around. And it really is beautiful. It'd be interesting to, you know, see it over a longer period of time. But after that power plant, we headed back into Albuquerque proper and went to several exterior locations. The building that stands in for the law firm that Jimmy's brother is a partner at on Better Call Saul, called Hamlin McGill. We went to the exterior of Mike's house, the Jonathan Banks character, who's a huge fan favorite. There was a library that they used in season two. Jimmy got a job at a different law firm called Davis and Maine, and it's a beautiful wood paneled library that they used both externally, and they used the main area, the bullpen area that they used on the show was a set. The courthouse I mentioned before, we drove past. We didn't stop at the dog house, which was a place that Jesse Pinkman wound up quite a bit with his buddies during Breaking Bad. We drove by Chuck's house from Better Call Saul, and Jesse Pinkman's house as well. Very, very notable location from Breaking Bad. There's a toll booth that's been used quite a bit. It's under an underpass in Albuquerque that they use on the show, where that's Mike's job when Saul meets him. He's not even Saul yet. So got to take quite a few pictures there. We went to the El Michoacana restaurant, which was used in season two, where Mike got punched by Tuco, who was a Breaking Bad character who has shown up in this earlier iteration. Maybe the highlight, Matt, and there were a lot of highlights, but we went to a fast food restaurant called Twisters, which is the exterior stand-in for Los Pollos Hermanos, which is the chicken chain that the greatest villain not named Walter White on Breaking Bad, Gus Fring, owned, and that was a front for his meth operation. And it was pretty neat. The sun was starting to set, and right next to this place, there was an ostrich in a fence. And he just came right up as we're checking this place out. I got a couple good pictures with the sun setting and Twisters and the ostrich there. Hopefully they don't have ostrich burgers or anything like that. And that's going to be very big. They had just filmed there. And they film inside there as well for season three, because that was the big reveal in the off season, if you will, that Gus Fring was coming back to the show. In fact, they had seeded a clue, a phrase in the second season. The first letter of every episode title, if you rearrange it, it spells Gus's, or it spells Fring's back. with those 10 episodes. So they put it out there ahead of time, and people had actually figured it out before it was confirmed. And Giancarlo Esposito, who Matt and I have a little bit of experience with, having done a podcast back in the day about the Revolution TV show on NBC, the role that made him as famous as he is, he's going to reprise over the air with this third season.
So I know that Albuquerque has this whole sub-economy now of Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul tours.
Funny that you mentioned that, because while we're at Twisters, who comes rolling up? The Breaking Bad tour. So I'm coming out, having just taken a picture in front of, you know, they have posters, and then they have a mural in there of Los Pollos Hermanos with the two chickens, the chicken brothers. And here comes this bus of people who are on this tour. So it was so funny before we made our last couple stops.
Would you recommend this type of tour for fans of either or both shows?
I don't know how much of what we went to they might go to. I mean, certainly there are a ton of locations, and surely to be more with the third season of the show. So you figure they've shot 8 seasons of these two TV shows in Albuquerque, at least exteriorly. So I guess, but I can't really vouch for it. I mean, it seemed like we didn't really exchange notes, but it seemed like they had been to a number of places, and, you know, Twisters was high on the list because, you know, the mythology that goes on there with Gus's character and Walter's, you know, strange kind of getting to know him process is really unique.
Is there anything else you would like to share from your sweepstake win?
The last couple of stops, we went to a big flag mural that on the show was supposed to be in Amarillo, Texas, but is actually in, you know, northern Albuquerque. And it had actually been vandalized like 2 weeks before, and they restored it. So the one we took pictures in front of is actually brighter and nicer looking than the one on the show, which was pretty interesting. And then the last exterior location we went to, they said, okay, do you want to do this? It'll have to literally be a drive-by. We can go to Walt's house, except there's a whole backstory. And apparently the husband and wife who own the home, the husband's cool with people coming and taking pictures. The wife, not so much. The unfortunate thing, and actually Vince Gilligan has spoken out several times about this. There's a scene during Breaking Bad where Walt is trying to reconcile with his wife, Skyler. He brings pizza. She won't let him in the door. His plaintive beg there, I brought dipping sticks. She still won't let him in the door. So the pizza joint, and you'll have to forgive me, I don't know the name of it, but the pizza joint that he got the pizza from there in Albuquerque, their shtick is they don't cut the pizza. You cut the pizza on your own. And there was a whole joke on the show that, you know, how many dollars are they saving by not slicing the pizza for you and passing it on to the consumer, the savings. So people have for a couple of years now gone to that home and tossed pizzas onto the roof. Bryan Cranston on the show, he did it in one take and it landed perfectly on the roof. And then there's a shot later on of him cleaning it off after it's been there for a while. So people have done this, and Gilligan has come out like, you know, you're not cool. It's not original. Stop doing it. So they were telling us, if we're going to drive there, we're going to drive by really quick, get your camera out. You know, we're not going to be able to stop, et cetera. And what do you know? We turn down that street, and the lady is sitting in a folding chair in her garage. she turns the phone on us to tape us or take our picture. And she mouthed, "Are you kidding me?" while I yelled, "I brought dipping sticks." She didn't think it was funny.
Pete, but, I suppose we should all have a home famous enough that people want to visit it for years and years to come. I'm sympathetic with her, but I'm sure they signed a thing, and
I'm sure they could sell it at a profit. And like our guide told us, you know, the husband, when you stop by, like, he's really cool with pictures, but you roll the dice, you get the wife, and not so much. I'm just surprised they wouldn't, you know, sell it at a profit or, you know, something like that. They haven't used it since the show has ended. You know, they've talked, maybe Cranston will show up. I don't think it's going to happen personally. I think it's too much of a distraction from the prequel story they are telling. But that was that. And then, you know, it culminated. They brought us to, they've used a restaurant, a fairly fancy restaurant in Albuquerque called Vintage 423 on the show three times. They used it twice in season one, and they used it once in season two, and kind of standing in for different restaurants within that one restaurant. They have a beautiful bar with you know, a waterfall going on behind it, and then they had a booth, and they had arranged for us to be in the booth that Jimmy McGill and his girlfriend on the show, Kim Wexler, Rhea Seahorn, had been in. So that was kind of cool. And, you know, they had professional photographer take a picture of us there. And it was a really nice end to probably a four and a half hour tour.
Well, it certainly sounds like the Better Call Saul Flyaway sweepstakes were, that there was quite the win for you and your lovely wife.
It was. But Matt, you know, just because of my fortune doesn't mean that we can't pass some fortune on to our listeners.
What fortune are you talking about, Pete? Something tells me it, hopefully it's a little sweet and a little sticky.
We have a little something something. I happen to have an extra Cinnabon Cinepak certificate that I am going to offer. We're going to have a raffle to one of our listeners over the next 8 days. We're going to raffle this off and pull this out of the hat during the live tweet, my live tweet of Better Call Saul season 3, episode 2, which will air a week from now on Monday, April 17th in the 10 o'clock hour on AMC Eastern Daylight Time. So here's what it's going to take if you want to get yourself in on the Cinnabon. Cinnabon being the location where Saul Goodman winds up post Breaking Bad. There's a joke, you know, not a joke, Jimmy Saul quips that, you know, when he goes on the run, that he'll be lucky to wind up managing the Omaha, Nebraska Cinnabon. Well, that's exactly where they put him when Better Call Saul begins. And that's actually shot in black and white. And, you know, for 2 years, Cinnabon has been something that's been on the fringes of Better Call Saul. And I'm sure they'll begin the third season with that black and white to kind of give us, again, the post Breaking Bad, and then how the prequel informs him eventually becoming Saul Goodman and winding up with a really lousy mustache and a comb over in this Omaha, Nebraska Cinnabon, which while we were there that night we got in, they had even gotten us Cinnabon from that Cinnabon where they shoot. So it followed me, Matt.
It's authentic.
It's authentic indeed. So here's how you're going to be able to be eligible for the free Cinepak that we will send you the certificate for. So probably make sure that there's a Cinnabon someplace in your area. We'd hate to be able to send you a certificate for something you won't be able to use. I mean, if you want to frame it, great, but it's not going to feed you otherwise. So this will be for all new iTunes reviews left to the Fantastic Geek Pop Culture Podcast account feed on iTunes beginning tonight. That's Sunday, April 9th, and it'll close with any review left by the time that Better Call Saul airs on Monday, April 17th. So doesn't need to be a good review. Just leave a new review on the Fantastic Geek Pop Culture Podcast iTunes feed, and you will be in the running for this free Cinepak, which can be up to 16 minibuns. So bring your appetite.
And after you submit that review, please either direct message or email Fantastic Geek, just saying, you know, hey, I'm iTunes username such and such. So that way, if you get the win, there aren't multiple yous claiming the win. We can get in touch with you either DM through Twitter or through email. So that will be a huge help to getting your prize to its intended location. Pete, so fantastic that you are sharing some of your prize swag. You know what, Pete? It's good enough. I would like to invite you back to becoming a host for Fantastic Geek. I think you've earned it. Do you have any secret scenes, though? Do you have any more swag stories to tell us?
The one aspect of this I was unprepared for was the amount of stuff they gave us while we were there. I thought it was just the trip and the Cinnabon. So they had us come down to the hotel ballroom that first night we arrived, and they had a really cute like legal file folding case with the show logo, and inside it they had our lanyards for the tour. They had a copy of the second season DVD. They had they make these mugs just like Jimmy has on the show. He was given one by Kim that says world's second best lawyer. So that was in there. They had a t-shirt. One of the things that Jimmy does in promoting his practice, he gets into elder law in the first season. So need a will call McGill. So there was a need a will call McGill t-shirt in there. They even had, Matt, I think maybe the most clever giveaway, or it's actually in a package. I still haven't opened it. Jimmy's brother, Chuck, the one who's at the law firm that he's a partner, he's actually out on medical leave. He has, his words, an allergy to electromagnetism. And through the show, you know, it's somewhat questionable, but he's usually wearing, when Jimmy comes to visit him, he doesn't use electricity in his home, and he has this, you know, foil Mylar blanket that he wears if he needs to go out and get the newspaper or something like that. So in a package with the show's logo on it, they had a Mylar space blanket for him.
Wow.
which I still have. And then, you know, I wound up taking, at the restaurant, they even had Better Call Saul, cocktail napkins. I grabbed a couple of those. But I was actually, while I was out there, I was able to break news through my Twitter, which got picked up all over the place. And actually the image wound up all over the internet, including like Instagram, people I don't know who were using it. On the promotional stuff that they gave us on the folder, and actually I didn't even notice it. My wife noticed it. They had the date for season 3, which hadn't been announced yet, as Monday, April 10th. So I was able to take a picture of that and tweet it right before our tour. And my phone just blew up the entire time we were on the tour, which was kind of cool. And then they were out in LA at the critics, Association panel, and then they announced it there. So I had about a 3-4 hour exclusive window on when the show was coming back that got picked up. You know, I had pictures of it in Russian, Spanish, in Italian, which was really kind of neat.
Well, king of the world there, king of the soul world for 3 hours while you're on the trip in Albuquerque. It sounds like it was just an amazing experience top to bottom.
It really was, and I can't thank AMC and Cinnabon and Pop 2 Life enough. Emily in particular, who even traveled down there to be a part of our tour.
Well, Pete, as I said, I suppose we'll let you back co-hosting. we will be back tomorrow to talk Iron Fist on the Pop Culture Podcast, talk S.H.I.E.L.D. Wednesday, if not a little sooner, and continue to truck along with both of those. But Pete, with eyes turning towards Better Call Saul returning to AMC, how can people be in touch with you to talk about Albuquerque and all things Bad and Saul?
You can find me on Twitter at Peter, P-I-E-T-E-R, J-K-E-T-E-L-A-A-R, 9,150 followers. Can't be wrong. And I will be live tweeting each episode of A Better Call Saul on AMC throughout the season. So someplace you can get me on right there.
And while I am personally on Twitter's Looking Back Lost, we are Fantastic Geek. That's Fantastic with the PH. You can find us at FantasticGeek@gmail.com, FantasticGeek.com, Fantastic Geek on Twitter and Instagram as well. Just a reminder, if you're going to leave an iTunes review, do send us either a direct message or an email just so we can link up your iTunes review name to hopefully your winning prize. But Pete, that's not the only way people can be in touch. How else can they be in touch?
Facebook.com/FantasticGeek with the PH, all one word, like it today. Another place that you could let us know if you've sent your review in, and we'll wait for it to pop up and put you in the hopper.
Well, with that, Pete, I will say adios to all the pollos hermanos y hermanas and give you the final Better Call Saul word.
It's showtime.